Hello and welcome to the Spotlight Podcast. We're joined today by casting director Sophie Parrott. Hi, Sophie.
Hello.
So let's start with sort of what's the best way to approach casting directors?
I'm very happy for people to email me directly if they've got something specific to say. I think I'm sure we'll talk about that in a bit. But what I'm particularly interested in is people writing to me with something specific in regards to a show that's on currently or that they're going to invite me to, or perhaps with a new show reel that they want to show. So something specific rather than a generalised, I'm an actor, I'd like to work sort of email.
And what is it you look for in the audition room?
I guess there's the specific things you'd expect anyone to do when it comes to a job interview, which is being really prepared and well-researched. I think it's really helpful, for example, if you're coming in for a TV series that's been on before, that you have actually looked up the TV series and seen the style of it and seen sort of, you know, what it's about. I think as if you can be as well-informed as possible, that's all to the good, really. Equally, knowing who you're going to be meeting in the room and that you're aware of their work, be it a director or a producer or whatever, I think that's beneficial. And I guess it's an easy confidence you're looking for, so that people navigate the room well in terms of the sort of preamble before the actual audition. And then when it comes to the audition, we want them to be well prepared and flexible. I think you really want to see that someone can take a note and that will take them in a different direction, that they haven't developed such a specific way of doing these scenes that they're not able to sort of evolve, that their performance can't evolve.
Mm-hmm. And when people sort of approach casting directors, should they say, because they know your casting is specific, that they think they'd be great for? Or could it be sort of a blind submission, just saying, hey, I'm in a production? Because you do see actors sort of handing out business cards here and there. But if they're not currently in anything, or if you're not casting something that they're right for, then it's potentially a wasted opportunity on their part and they should wait for the right time to speak to you, do you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, we get a lot of unsolicited emails and it's really hard to sort of keep track of them anyway. So it makes sense to kind of target fewer people, but in a more effective way. I mean, for example, I'm doing a play at the moment, which is set in Cardiff. So if an actor hears that I'm doing that and they're native Welsh, then I'm really happy for them to get in touch at the moment. That's a really specific, you know, useful time for them to do that. And if you are writing in a sort of generalised, unsolicited way, then that's when I think it's more useful for it to be, because you're in a show that's just about to be on, or you've got a specific kind of, a specific reason for writing, really.
Yeah. So if they're inviting you to a show, what's the lead time they need to give you? Because obviously you've got a very busy schedule and you can't go and see everyone who invites you to a show. So a month, 6 weeks?
Yeah, well, I'd say 2 to 3 weeks before, probably. The other thing I think that's worth saying about that is when you are writing to casting directors, think about where they're based. I mean, I get a lot of invites kind of saying, oh, I'm doing a show at the Lyceum next week in Edinburgh. Do you want to come? And you just think, what's the likelihood of that happening? You know, especially, you know, someone being able to just turn up at a day's notice or whatever. So, yeah, target your audience. You know, I live in North London, so anything north of the river is really good for me. I'm really happy to see sort of fringe around that area, certainly. And I think it's just being sensible, I think, and sort of savvy with why you're writing specifically.
Doing your research carefully beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any big faux pas that you've seen actors make in the audition room, like a mobile phone going off or something, for example?
I mean, the mobile phone thing does happen, but I mean, it happens to all of us at the wrong time. I think a lack of preparation does happen, and that's a really frustrating thing, especially if you have given actors a fair amount of time. You know, you expect them to have done that work, and if they haven't, that's a, you know, it's not ideal, obviously. And also, I think if you have agreed to come in for a casting for a specific project, then it's really good to sound positive about the show or you know, the script or whatever. And I think a faux pas that people do sometimes make is to kind of take it as an opportunity to critique the script, for example, which you sort of think, if you're coming in for that, then we take that as a sort of tacit agreement that you're interested in the project and you think it's a valuable piece of work. So that's what I'd say to avoid.
Don't take part what you're auditioning for.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, not obviously all the specifics. You know, don't be late, don't, I wouldn't say come in costume or anything like that, but equally, don't disregard, if you're coming in for a period piece, don't come in with loads of piercings, I think, just because that's not helpful. Mm. You know, that's not going to help, you know, stir the imagination.
And if a graduating actor has just sort of finished their, they've done their showcase, they're about to leave drama school, the next step for them in terms of getting the attention of casting directors, is there anything they can specifically do, any type of work they should steer towards, or just anything that might suit them?
I think it's great to try and be doing Fringe, especially, you know, if it is in London and people can come and see you. You know, there are loads of new writing venues, or the sort of, there's loads of smaller venues that people definitely still turn out and cover. Equally, I think it's really useful to try and get some sort of showreel, albeit, you know, one or two scenes, which might be something you do as part of your unit, you know, a unit at drama school, but it's also worth perhaps approaching film schools and, you know, university departments and things, and seeing if you can gain experience that way, and then put it on your spotlight page, because it's a really good way, if you don't know an actor, of kind of getting a little feel for them very quickly. Mm-hmm. So I think that's beneficial.
And do you watch showreels?
Yes, definitely. And I think more and more there's a culture, you know, no doubt influenced by the American casting system, but there is a culture towards self-tapes and showreels more than ever. Mm. And showreels, I'm sure, they're usually quite a provocative issue to casting directors, because people have sort of love or hate different sorts of showreels. Mm. For me, I like them to be under 3 minutes. I don't like a montage, because I feel often you're looking at something very quickly and you want to immediately get a feel for that person, and a sort of Coldplay intro might not necessarily help with that decision any quicker. And I think you're looking for some nice quality, you know, high quality scenes that show you showing off your range, really, you know, sort of be emotionally or in terms of the wide sort of range of parts that you're cast in, for example.
And for your casting, mostly, how do you do it? Do you do it through spotlight, through recommendations, just go to the agents that you know directly, or
A mixture of things. I often would send out a spotlight breakdown. I'd send, if I was doing theatre, I'd often send the agents a copy of the play so that they can have a read as well, and sort of get a feeling for it. And I'll also work off my own lists, be it from drama school or that I've accumulated over time. And I certainly would be... I think it's very frightening for actors if they don't have agents, you know, they feel that they're not seen, but certainly, particularly with quite specific casting, I'd absolutely look at someone to see if they were right, irrelevant of what their representation is, who their representation is, particularly with young drama school graduates, whatever, that we've seen at their showcase. You're not so worried about where they are at their kind of career in terms of who represents and things, because you will have seen them recently in their own right.
Mm-hmm. And just lastly, is there any, or are there any specific qualities that actors who regularly get cast have?
Well, I was saying I find that there's a sort of inexplicable thing, obviously, that actors who work a lot have in the room. But I guess in terms of people who work a lot, it's a willingness to learn, a willingness to collaborate, sort of enthusiasm for the project. And... again, the flexibility that I mentioned, which suggests they're going to work well with a director and as part of a team. I mean, in terms of specific styles of acting and things, that's the inexplicable thing, you know, what someone does, and whether you know how much you can teach that, I guess. But I guess if you do all the things such as preparation, etc., you're really helping yourself to show yourself off in the room, and it's the people who do that work that give themselves the best advantage when they're actually in the casting room, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you, Sophie, and thank you for listening to the Spotlight podcast. Follow us on Twitter @SpotlightUK to keep up with all our updates.